Good morning, guys. Thanks for hanging out with me again. Hey, let's pray, shall we? Father, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to just get into your word and to study. And I just ask, Lord, that you would use this, that you would use me, that you would use this recording, Lord, to just speak into the hearts and the lives of people everywhere. Father, that you would just touch them and grip them. Father, you would help us all to truly see your Son and our need for him. Father, that you would just cause us to fall deeper in love with Jesus, to live lives of gratitude and worship and thanksgiving. Father, I pray that you would bring forth the power of your word just to come and transform and move in the hearts and lives of every single person listening today. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I got a question for you guys. Have you ever known someone who turned his or her back on Christ or the church? Have you considered it? Just walking away? Just fed up. I'm done. Perhaps you struggle to maintain your own relationship with Christ. You know, maybe it's disillusionment or confusion or loss or, you know, illness, or maybe someone in the church didn't reach out to you like you thought they should, or they hurt you, or, you know, has this ever been your struggle? And get to a place that maybe you feel very disconnected with Jesus or with God. Well, Hebrews is a book that really expresses the heart of a pastor, and one that I really feel convicted that to study. My commentary says this. I'm going to quote it. And quoting from the New Living Translation, the commentary says, "As Christianity spread throughout the Mediterranean world, the first followers of Jesus Christ faced grave challenges. Those who converted to the faith in Christ from various backgrounds often paid high price in their jobs, family connections, friendships, and other social associations. Persecution of Christians was common. The believers to whom Hebrews was addressed probably belonged to a group of house churches in Rome in the early 60s AD. Roman believers had demonstrated courage and endurance, but by the time Hebrews was written, the spiritual fever of some had grown cold. Their theological perspective was skewed, and some had even abandoned Christ and the church. Hebrews was written as an energetic and highly crafted pastoral response to the needs of the struggling people. Unlike many other letters of the New Testament, Hebrews does not begin by identifying its author or even the recipients. There you go. Many scholars today believe that this is because the book was originally written as a sermon. Although we can't identify the author of Hebrews with certainty, we can learn a few things when we study it. The first is the excellent Greek in which the book was originally written. It expertly crafts and forms an expression points to a highly educated individual. The second thing that's noted is the author of Hebrews must have been a good preacher, one trained in interpretation, who had memorized large portions of the Old Testament. And the third thing worth noting, probably the most important, is that the author was deeply concerned, and he was addressing his readers urgently with passion for their hearts, their minds, for those who are challenged in their Christian commitment. So that's what my study Bible says. That's the little like interlude. And it's the very heart of this book that's gripped my spirit. So I'd like to invite you to join me as we begin an in-depth study into the book of Hebrews. And today we're going to start Hebrews 1. We're going to read just the first four verses. So starting in Hebrews 1 and verse 1. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. In these first four verses, as with all scripture, there are some really wonderful and powerful truths that we can learn about God and Jesus. So I want to kind of just take it verse by verse. So verse 1 says, long ago God spoke many times in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. Now I personally underline God spoke many times in many ways. And then off to the side, I just put, you know, how that must have brought comfort to the people living during those Old Testament times, just knowing that God had not abandoned them. And so I actually just wrote, must have brought comfort. But just thinking, you know, being able to hear from God so often and knowing that he was right there through all of life's mountains and valleys and all the challenges they faced, to be able to hear from God. The second thing is, and now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. And so here we are 2,000 years later, and we're reminded that we're not alone either. And the truth is, if you want to hear from the Father, all you have to do is listen to the Son. He has spoken to us through his Son. And you know, I can't even begin to count the number of times people have come to me, how can I hear from God? I want so badly to hear from God. Some even telling me that their relationship with God's grown silent, lacking direction. They keep asking. They tell me they never hear a response. But we're told right here in Hebrews, and now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. You know, the disconnect someone might feel from God, I believe, is a direct connection with someone's willingness to be deliberately and intentionally remain connected with the Son. We're given so much insight in the pages of Scripture. And yet so much of our time is wasted seeking directions from a cornucopia of other resources that will never bring the fulfillment that we long for. You know, I just really underline that. Now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. You know, and just a prayer, Lord, help me to never lose sight of that. If I want to hear from you, if I want to know what you're doing, what you want for me, I gotta be in the Word. I gotta be listening to Jesus. If you want to hear from the Father, you need to listen to the Son. God is not silent. He's here for us, and he comforts us, guides us, directs us, challenges us, disciplines, and loves us. And to know him is to know his Son. Verse 2, he has spoken to us through his Son. Jesus is our connection to the Father. It is through him that we're able to hear from and enter into the presence of the Father. Jesus is our connection. Verse 2 also says that through the Son, he created the universe. Jesus was not only there at creation, but he was an instrument for creation. This is huge. There are religions out there that would have you believe that Jesus was created. But according to this passage, through the Son, he, God, created. Jesus was there at the time of creation. He wasn't created. He was there just as God was there, just as the Holy Spirit was there. From the very beginning, they were never created. They were there. Verse 3, the sun radiates God's own glory. And I underlined radiates God's glory. From Jesus flows the magnificent beauty of God. Unfiltered, undiluted, raw, powerful presence is emitted from the person Jesus Christ. He radiates God's glory. Could you imagine being in his physical presence? And here we are today. If you want to be in that presence, then I just urge you, just get in and just everything you can find on Jesus, just try to absorb it, just study it, just keep looking at Jesus, just keep looking at him. Not only does he radiate God's own glory, but verse 3 says he expresses the very character of God. So Jesus is an exact representation of God the Father. In verses 1 and 2, we learn that if we want to hear from the Father, we need to listen to the Son. And in this verse, we learn if we want to see the Father, then we need to be focused on the Son. Jesus emits the glory of God. He is the exact representation of the awesome power and perfect glory of God the Father. And verse 3, he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. Literally, everything in existence is by the will of Jesus. Let your head wrap around that. Everything from the building you and I are in right now to the furniture we're sitting on, the skin that wraps around our flesh, the muscles, everything exists because Jesus wills it so. And if he were to stop, then you and I would stop. Just that quick, we would cease to exist. We are here because Jesus wills it. He desires it. Verse 3 also says, he cleansed us from our sins. The power of Christ's love was expressed as he walked the road of Calvary and died for our sins. There is no other sacrifice and no other means by which we have eternal hope of salvation. His blood has washed our sins. This is important because many religions try to claim that you have to be baptized in order to be saved. He cleansed us from our sins. He did the work. Other religions would try to convince you that you have to pray or go to church or pay a penance to be saved. He cleansed us from our sins. He did that. Verse 3 says, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. This verse gives us several powerful truths. One, he's alive. We know that he died on that cross, but it says he sat down. He had to be alive to do that. He sat down, meaning he rose and he conquered death, giving us eternal hope. And he sat down in a place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. Christ is not an angel, nor is he equal to the angels. He sits in a place of honor and authority over the angels. Verse 4 clarifies it for us. It says, this shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. Jesus is God's Son, through whom we can hear from God. He was there at the moment of creation. Through him, we can see the glory of God and even know the character of God, allowing us to have an intimate relationship with him. Jesus, through his mighty power, sustains all of creation. He died on Calvary for our sins and conquered death, giving us an eternal hope. He rose from the dead and currently sits beside the Father in a place of honor and authority. You know, Hebrews starts with an introduction, just not the introduction that all the other books tend to start with. An introduction that introduces the power and the beauty of our Savior Jesus Christ. It's almost as if the author of Hebrews is inviting us to get reacquainted with our beautiful and powerful Savior. And I'd like to invite you to join me as we begin the study in hopes that you and I will become closer to our Lord and our King, our Savior and our Redeemer. So God, we just ask you, we just ask that you would give us hearts, that you give us a hunger and a thirst for your word, that we'd be opening it, reading it, studying it, taking notes, applying it to our lives, walking in relationship with Jesus every single day. Lord, I pray that you would bless this time, Lord. We surrender it to you. We ask your Holy Spirit to come and anoint it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys, and I can't wait till next week.